Now may the words I speak and the thoughts in all our minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, it's very good to be with you again this morning. It would be helpful if you have the passage open in front of you. It's on page 74 in the New Testament part of our Bibles. Page 74, Luke chapter 11. Today we're having the last in a short series of what are called the hard sayings of Jesus. Things that Jesus said which may be hard in the sense of surprising or puzzling, perhaps, sayings that we might usually pass over and miss the importance of what he's saying. I'm calling this one today the Great Deflection, and I want to explain what I mean by that. If you look at the passage, Luke 11, verse 27, during a time when Jesus was teaching the people, we're told a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." But Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That's what I'm calling the Great Deflection. It's worth noting as we begin to look into this that at this point in his ministry, the crowds were coming thick and fast to hear Jesus. Even just keeping that page open at that point, if you look at chapter 11, verse 14, it says the crowds were amazed. If you look on to verse 29, it says the crowds were increasing. And if you look on to chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "When the crowds gathered by their thousands so that they trampled on one another." Well, we're getting the picture, aren't we? These are days in which there's a very considerable increasing number of people. Now, no doubt many of them were there for superficial reasons, but it seems that this woman listened and seems to have recognized the voice of God in the words of Jesus. And she shouted out her praise for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. We might paraphrase that. She's saying, your mother must be really special. People like you don't spring from nowhere. God has really blessed her, that's Jesus's mother. There's a good mother behind you, I can tell. She must be really special and in God's favor. Well, don't we want to agree with her? Yes, indeed. Mary was blessed and privileged above any other. And knowing what we do now about Christian theology, we'd want to recognize the unique part that Mary played in God's plan for the redemption of the world, bringing the salvation we celebrate today. Only one woman has had the privilege of conceiving the Son of God in the flesh of her womb and suckling the infant Jesus. Mary's role truly was unique, unrepeatable, and the more you think of it, it's quite awesome. She was indeed the blessed Virgin Mary. And Jesus, in his reply, doesn't deny her her privileged position. He doesn't reject the remark, but nor does he accept it as it is. Instead, he deflects the woman's comment in a surprising way. "Blessed is the womb that bore you," she said. Jesus replies, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Now, to me, it's rather like a game of football when one player passes the ball to another player. And as the ball comes to this player, the player doesn't just accept it and run with it, nor does he bounce it straight back. He deflects it so that it finishes up in a better place. This woman's remark was certainly meant well, it was certainly true, but on its own, Jesus considered it would miss the mark and could finish up in the wrong place. "Blessed rather," he says, "are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So that gives us two questions, if you're following me. Why was the original trajectory of the remark possibly unhelpful? And why was the deflection so much better? Let's just think about that for a moment or two. First, why was the original trajectory of the remark possibly unhelpful? Well, we can begin by saying it seems that this remark, shouted out from the back of the crowd, may have been an interruption in an important bit of teaching that Jesus was given. If you look at verse 27, it begins by saying, "While he was saying this, a woman raised her voice and cried out." Has that impression of an interruption. Jesus was actually teaching, if you look back into the passage immediately before, he was giving some very important teaching about the need to fill your life with good things, to make sure the devil doesn't use up any empty spaces in your life. Most of us don't have many empty spaces at the moment, but he's talking about the situation where a demon has been cast out of someone and there's a space in their life. And he says it's not just enough to get rid of things, you need to fill your life with good things. Don't just clear out the bad and leave a gap. Make sure you fill them with good things. And it was while he was saying this, there was this interruption, this distraction, because her remark didn't follow on from the teaching Jesus was giving. Secondly, Jesus obviously considered that her remark was possibly open to misunderstanding. It turns the conversation away from Jesus himself to his family, to his blood relatives, and to his mother in particular. Now, we've noted that Jesus already had a growing number of disciples, and some in the crowd, perhaps other women, might have imagined that Mary would have an ongoing role, perhaps part of a great dynasty, rather like an earthly royal family with people keen to trace their bloodline and boast of a relationship with the leader of this growing movement. Perhaps Jesus saw that his mother's role could be exaggerated further. As we've got to say, we feel some of our friends in other branches of the Christian church have done. For example, you probably know that some Roman Catholic theologians speak of Mary as the Mother of God, which is a title, not a title the Bible uses and is possibly open to misunderstanding. Nor do the scriptures teach us anywhere to worship Mary or to pray to her, or that she has somehow accumulated merit on which others may draw. No, the New Testament insists very, very clearly that there is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. That's a quotation from one of Paul's letters. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our focus. We come to the Father through faith in Christ alone. Mary herself, wonderful as she was and wonderful the role that she played, she herself was not sinless. She knew her need of a Saviour. In that great Magnificat that we know so well, she began, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." She knew her need of a Saviour as we do. Well, these are maybe some of the reasons why Jesus felt the original trajectory of the woman's remark was unhelpful and could finish up in the wrong place. So let's ask, why was the deflection so much better? Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Well, this is the true focus, isn't it, of our admiration for the Virgin Mary. It takes us back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Again, if you want to chase it up, it's on page 58, and it's worth just referring back to it. Luke 1, verse 38. This is the point where the announcement has been made. The Holy Spirit, the angel says to the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And in verse 38, Mary's wonderful response, here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. The angel had spoken God's word. She responded in trust and obedience. Her obedience was the true source of her blessedness. Her role indeed was unique, but her blessedness is open to all who hear the word of God and do it, and that brings it right home to us today. And as we were hearing, as the candles were lit, the Advent wreath, the candles marking the stages of Advent, Mary takes her place with all the great people of faith. Do you remember Abraham was mentioned? God said to Abraham, go from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And Abraham went. He obeyed. He heard the word of God, and he acted upon it. God later came to the young Samuel in the night, and Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. He's in the household of faith. And God similarly called Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ruth and Elizabeth and Anna and Simeon, and they obeyed. And we must mention also, in accepting this word, they took their share of suffering that went along with it. And when Mary accepted her call to be the mother of Jesus, to bear the Son of God, she was warned, a sword will pierce your own heart also. But Mary takes her place here in the household of faith. And the question for us this morning is, are we in that household today? The family of believers. It's a great family to be in. And when the woman cried out, blessed is your mother, Jesus, Jesus said to her and to us in effect, you too can be blessed. This is no secret club with restricted membership. It's open to all who will hear and obey. And just as one final verse, again from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 21, there was an illustration, an incident in the life of Jesus. It's there on page 69, if you're chasing it up. Luke 8, verse 21, Jesus again was teaching, and some people interrupted him and said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside wanting to see you." They seemed to be concerned. They wanted to restrain him, perhaps, from what he was doing. They almost insist on interrupting, claiming privileged access to him. And Jesus says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Isn't he consistent? Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for those who through the ages have heard your word and have not ignored it or evaded it, but have trusted and obeyed, even at great cost. Thank you for those we read about in the Christmas story, especially the Virgin Mary, who did just that. Help us who hear your call today to be found among the household of faith and to be rejoiced to be called your brothers and sisters, for your name's sake. Amen.